everybody, and welcome to the Final Femme podcast. My name is Sydney. I'm here with my co-host, Jack.
Hello.
How are you, Jack?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
You?
I'm good.
Good.
Today we watched Paranormal Activity from 2007. Jack, have you seen this before?
I have not.
What did you think?
It was really spooky.
Yeah?
It wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. It was short.
It was short.
It was hour 26 minutes.
Hey. So,
hallelujah.
We did it.
It was pretty good, and it slowly built up to a climactic ending. So I'll give it that. Mm-hmm. Like, I enjoyed that. It went somewhere.
Yes. This movie freaked my shit out the first time I saw it. Like,
yeah.
Because I think I hadn't seen Blair Witch Project before, so this was kind of like my first found footage movie, and I didn't really know what to expect. And so by the time you hit the ending, it was like, oh my God. So I liked it.
Indeed. Indeedly do.
Indeedly do. All right. Well, this movie, let's see. It was, like I said, it's found footage. There's not a lot of characters. We've just got like our two main characters, the psychic. And that's
how happy are you, Sid?
Pretty much you have, it. That was you have so no, nice.
You have no weird names to read off. You have five characters to keep track of. Like, you'll be okay this episode.
It was nice. Yes. So this was written and directed by Oren Peli, and it stars Katie Featherston, Mika Sloat, and Mark Fredericks. And I want to say the characters, the actor names and the character names are the same. So,
yeah.
It was pretty easy to keep track of.
It was.
Let's see the budget. Oh, interesting fact about this. So, and I think they did this for Blair Witch Project too. The actors aren't given scripts. They're just given guidelines on like how to behave and what to discuss in their scenes. So that was kind of interesting.
They did pretty good then.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Going into that.
It right, like, because I feel I've watched Blair Witch a couple months ago, and that felt a lot more stilted. This felt like it flowed pretty well.
Yeah.
So this was released October 16th, 2009. Why does it say 2007? Whatever. Well, IMDb, the top of page says 07, but down here it says it was released in, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Down in the bowels of IMDb, something's different.
Bowels, yes. Gross.
Who would have guessed that? That is weird. What the fuck?
I don't know. So the estimated budget for this is $15,000. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, pretty inexpensive.
So they used someone's house, I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
and then they just bought a $15,000 camcorder.
Pretty much, like they bought the. Oren Peli bought the house, and he either bought it or I think he bought it, because when he got it, it was like all white walls. He spent a year like redecorating it. It didn't have the railing in it at first. So, and it's very,
I like the railing's a good touch. Yeah. Oren.
It's very like early 2000s, like the color scheme and everything. It's a who. So opening weekend, it did $77,873, and gross worldwide, it did $193,355,933.
What a fucking return. Holy shit.
She made some money.
Man, yeah. That's crazy.
I know, right? There's something on here about... Yeah, okay. So Blumhouse Productions has been a major force in the horror genre since... Yeah, see, this says 2007. Since 2007's Paranormal Activity became a worldwide sensation... So I think this movie kind of like helped kick a lot of stuff off for this production company.
I looked a little further. October 14th, 2007, it was, I guess, screened at the Screamfest Horror Film Festival. So I think it started off coming out as at a festival and then was had an actual release in 2009.
That makes more sense. All right. So the official tagline for this is "What happens when you sleep," which is like, it's fine. They don't have a lot of good taglines on this one. Some of them are just like, don't go alone. Yeah.
Don't see it alone, Sid.
Okay.
Okay. We both watched this alone and I think we're fine, right?
We're okay. Oh, God. Yes. So that's.
How about this one? Demand it.
I saw that. I was like,
I feel like that's just like them trying to get it into the movie theater. Like, go to the movie theater and demand it's in this movie theater.
Demand this movie. Yes. So that's kind of it for the facts. Jack, have you seen Michael? I don't feel like I've seen him around recently.
He is alive and well.
Oh, well, great. Do you know where he is?
Moving on. No.
Oh, okay.
Did I have to clarify that point?
I feel like you did.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. Man. So we watched Signs in our previous episode. Mm-hmm. And he kind of told me that, like, he has never experienced a true birthday party. So what he flew down to Brazil, mm-hmm. to go experience the birthday party with all those kids. Do you remember that part?
I do remember that part.
And and he was having a great time, you know. Obviously a little bit of a language barrier, but still, I think he was still having a good time at the birthday party. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden the kids just started screaming. And
oh, no.
they ripped him apart.
Ah! Oh, my God. What a terrible birthday party.
Well, they saw an alien, or they thought they did. And so they just grabbed the nearest person and just ripped him to shreds.
Mm.
And so Michael is ethereal now.
Oh.
He's of another universe. He's parts of many different universes now.
Rest in peace, Michael.
Indeed, indeed. I'm sorry to say, but... what a great guy. And he went out during a celebration. So, like, really, I think it worked out in the end for him.
Yeah.
But.
Kind
of. Kind of. He's part of the stars. But now we have Ashley joining us. Ashley.
Hi, Ashley.
Just go to show. You shouldn't show up to a birthday in a pinata suit.
That's true. That was probably his first mistake.
It's a faux pas.
I did forget to mention that. And the kids were very disappointed that no candy came out.
Oh, I'm sure something came out.
Hawaiian Punch.
Tears. Yeah, tears. Lots of tears.
Thank you for joining us. You know,
so it's a joyous birthday celebration, though, Ray. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
It's always someone's birthday. Someone. Isn't that the saying?
Yes. It's my friend's birthday today.
See?
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, friend.
Although this won't come out on her birthday, but that's okay. We're recording it on her birthday, and that's what counts.
You're going to have to move in.
That's what I keep telling her. I'm like, move your birthday. Duh.
Better day. Pick a better day.
That's right. Pick a better day. Do it again. Actually, today was supposed to be my birthday, too. But I came out.
Supposed to be. What happened?
I came out 2 weeks late. I was just like, nah, I'm going to be a Scorpio, not a Libra.
Oh, is that why it was the sign? You didn't like the sign?
Yeah. It's like, nah.
We just Jean-Claude Van Damme with your arms and legs on the in the womb.
Oh, God. My.
I refuse. You were doing the splits.
Get me out.
No. I'm staying in.
You can't evict me.
That's right.
It was a splitsarian section.
Wow. Wow. Well, all right then. Let's start the show. I keep waiting for the music. Nope. All right.
Ask your friend if she has any good bookshelves I can sit on.
No, Ashley. Don't be creepy. Stop that.
It's in her nature, Sid.
Oh, God. Anyways.
That's the perfect place for me to perch.
Doing great. So, Paranormal Activity. Yes. Let's see.
Yes.
So we start.
There's yes, also queen.
Yes. There's not any music in this movie.
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
Which has probably also saved up a lot of budget, but.
Yeah. I wonder why they didn't do that.
Oh. Well, Mika.
Stupid.
Mika plays the guitar randomly.
He does. And then he, like later on, he, like, plays this, like, weird horror theme when the psychic is coming over. Yeah. So I guess there's a little bit of music.
A little bit. It's dumb.
Not enough.
Not enough. So we start with words on the screen, Jack's Fave.
Yes.
And it says, Paramount Pictures would like to thank the families of Mika Sloat and Katie Featherston and the San Diego Police Department, which...
They weren't in this movie at all. Why would you thank them?
Because they found the bodies! Spoilers. So... We start with Mika. It's spelled Mika, but it's pronounced Mika.
It's Mika.
Whatever, I'm going to call it
Mika. M-I-C-A-H. It's Mika.
I'm calling it Mika because it sounds cuter anyways.
She so we start watch with Hero Trip.
What?
Hero Trip. That's part of the main plot point, so she confuses Mika and Mika.
Oh, it's been a long time since I've seen Hero Trip.
Because Mika is a female's name. And that's the girl. He thinks he's texting a guy, Mika.
See?
Should
be Mika. It's a girl.
Well, Mika sucks regardless, so we don't really care what their gender is. They're just terrible. So we start with Mika filming, and then we quickly see, like, found footage. This whole thing is just going to be them recording. Then we get San Diego, California, September 18th, 2006.
Boom. Wrote that down.
Boom. Oh, good. I did it.
Also, when he's checking himself out in the mirror, that is, it looks like an expensive camera. It is quite the contraption he has that he's it's using big. There. So, yeah.
Yeah. So he steps outside. Katie drives up in her car. I don't know what kind of car it is.
A little Mazda Miata.
Mazda Miata. Thank you.
It's beautiful.
It is. It's cute. And she says, or she's surprised that Mika has bought the camera. And we discover that he has bought it to try to catch some of the paranormal activity. So already we know something has been going on.
Yes. Yes.
At first, it takes a little while to get into the story. So it's just kind of them hanging around. He's making dinner and he explains to her that he wants to catch the paranormal activity on camera. And then they can decide what to do from there. So it's kind of like this. She knows it's real, and he's still kind of in that vein of, like, I don't know, maybe it's bullshit.
He's the skeptic.
Yes. Ugh, hate that shit.
Being a skeptic? Come on, Sid.
I just don't like that trope in horror movies where it's like one person knows it's going on. And with refutable evidence, like you saw something slam into the wall and they're like, oh, it's not real. You're like, really? Okay.
Yeah, that's more the problem I have with... Mika,
I'll
go along with you guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's more that he's like showing proof that something's happening, and he's like, no, it's not. It's like that's where he's infuriating. Yes, like, I get that.
Okay, so yes,
she also
chill, babe.
Go ahead, take a pill.
Chill, babe.
Suck my dick, Mika. Yes, Jack.
Just gonna say. Katie was the first thing she saw when she saw the camera was like, how much was that?
Yeah.
So maybe we're getting maybe there's some like financial stuff or who knows? I don't know what's going on. Maybe that's like set up that little backstory there. But
yeah, because they live in a nice house.
They do in San Diego.
It's like a millennial starter house. But this is also, if it's 2006, it's like 2 years before the recession. So
it's right before the crash. Everything was good.
So, yeah, exactly. So... We find out that Katie has been experiencing some kind of haunting on and off since she was about 8. So this could also be why she's less like, oh boy, let's film it. And more like, this shit sucks.
Yeah, she's apprehensive. And he's very much, he's the, I don't know if he wants to document this to maybe get famous too, or like have proof of this stuff.
That was kind of the vibe I was getting at first when he thought it was going to be fun. Like, oh, we could like document it and like sell it to Oprah or whatever the hell. I don't know who you sell ghost stories to, but
you know. I mean, hey, you know, she's got a book club. She could start a paranormal club too. I don't see why not.
So he tells her that they're going to film themselves while they're sleeping. Cool.
Which, yeah. This instantly segues into his like creepiness of like, we're going to fucking film us fucking right.
God, he's like, no. So gross. He does that the whole movie. He's like, we could just film on camera. Okay. No. And then.
And now Sid.
What?
Hold on. Before we just shit all over Mika.
Yes.
But he made dinner.
He did make dinner, which was nice of him.
So sweet.
Yeah. That's like one of the few good things he does. Mika's garbage.
I just want to point that out.
He did make dinner. Good job, Mika.
He's about 5% good. The rest, maybe not so much.
That's true. It's in a subtle gaslighty shitty way too, which I didn't pick up on when I was younger and watching this, but now I'm like, fuck you, Mika. So yes, he did make dinner. Good job. And then he starts doing all these sound tests, which is kind of annoying. Like,
yeah, they have a kind of a montage of them making sure the camera works, mm-hmm. making sure the mic works. And it kind of shows them hanging out. Like, they seem to have like a good relationship at the beginning of this.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Seemingly. Yeah, which is another reason it's such a slow burn, because it takes a while for stuff to get going. But
it does.
He then asks Katie if she can piss off the ghost so that they can catch it on camera. He's like, come on, babe, like, just like make it mad so we can catch it on camera. And she's like, no, I would like it not to happen at all. This is supposed to be preventative, not to provoke it.
Right.
But
right. That's kind of the setup of like, it seems like he's wanting something to happen, yeah, to capture it on film. She just doesn't. She wants to have the camera there as a like proof that something happened and that she's not crazy.
Yeah. And she's scared, which, right, fair enough. I would be scared too if I'd been haunted since I was 8.
It's a long time.
That's a long time.
That's quite the commitment this creature has to her, mm-hmm, to make her life hell.
It's like, hey, girl, you're cute. Mika then like weirdly asks Katie for a striptease, which is awkward. And then they set up the camera in the bedroom and it's just them getting ready for bed. Doesn't really go anywhere. So they go to bed at 11:24 p.m. night one, which again is what, September 18th? Yeah, September 18th.
Oh, boy. I didn't write all that down.
Night one, September 18th, 11:24 p.m. And at 2:09 a.m., weird noises happen. And then it's the next morning. So this is what I mean by slow build. Like each night, a little more happens.
Very slow. Very slow.
But it's worth it.
Oh, it's worth it. But it's going to, I don't envy you, Sid, for leading this, because it's like, okay, night 59, like, it takes this a tiny little thing happened. Like, it does take a long time for, yeah, this to happen.
It does. So the next morning, Katie is making breakfast and she finds her keys in the middle of the floor, which was our weird noise from last night. And Micah's like, oh, I don't, the ghost looking for your keys. Like, he just kind of blows it off, whatever. It's kind of funny. They start swimming, which goes nowhere. And then Katie is saying that a psychic is coming over today. Like, she wants to start working with someone and not just trust Mika and his dumbass camera, which is a good call. Mika.
Sure. Sid.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
What do these fucking people do for work?
Well, I say it later. Katie is English student, so she's still in college. And Mika is a day trader. So I'm guessing he works from home.
He in 2007, that's pretty revolutionary to work from,
yeah,
home, I think.
It is. I agree.
But there is no backstory of them like, I'm going to school or I'm going to work. Like, it's all, they're always in the house. It's, right?
No, because a psychic asks and she tells him, and there's like one or two mentions where she's like, fuck off, I need to study, or I'm not going to class today. But it's so brief that if you don't catch it, it's a blip.
And see, when she said she was studying later on, I was like, oh, you're studying the demons or the ghosts or whatever.
No.
So
she was studying.
Man, I completely missed that. And also, it's so subtle, I think it's like a non-explanation.
Yeah, it's barely there. So.
Okay.
Yeah, so Mika is working on his computer. And at first, I thought he was being helpful. And then he's just like, hey, I found some stuff to make your psychic comfortable. And then he plays some dumbass horror music, which...
It was pretty creepy.
It was, but shows me that Mika's kind of a tool.
He's joking around about all this. It very much shows that he doesn't really buy into this, what's going on, or what he thinks is going on is paranormal.
Which the bigger part of this is your partner's afraid and you're making fun of her, which, like, right, that's the shitty part. So I think in my notes I have written down, Mika is a douche, and I stand by that. So Mika is a douche. So our psychic shows up and he is played by Mark Fredericks, and he is the only other person in this movie.
Yes. Yep.
So, and then I said, psychic deals with shitty questions from Mika, cause he's just saying dumb shit like, ooh, can you predict like the traffic or whatever the day is going to look like? And he's like, no, dumbass. Like, what are you talking about?
He's trying to be cordial with him and he's not, the psychic is not pushing back too much. He's like, he's kind of taking his questions and like, sometimes. Yeah. But
yeah, Mika's being a douche.
It's really Katie doing most of the talking.
Yeah. So he asks some questions about themselves. And Katie says, we've been together for 3 years. And then Micah's like, we're engaged to be engaged. Like, okay, Mika, whatever. Which I'm sure you are, but I think it's just because I don't like Mika already. Like, whatever.
I can tell.
Whatever.
They just don't want the demon to show up at the wedding and be like, I object.
I object. That's my girl.
I want her. You can't have her.
You know, I don't have a problem with people being like, we're engaged to be engaged. Like, do whatever on your own timeline. I just don't like Mika as a person. That's all. Anyways. So, Katie's an English student. She's a student. She's an English major. She wants to be a teacher. Mika's a day trader. And the psychic asks if they're in good health. They say they are. And then he says, well, okay, most things can be explained away by like creaky steps or pipes or whatever. And then Katie's like, well, I've experienced this since I was 8 years old. I used to share a room with my younger sister when she was 5 and I was 8. And we would wake up to like this shadowy figure standing by the foot of my bed, like breathing on me. And then there was a fire in my old house. And there was no reason for the fire, just everything burned down. Which, maybe that's our demon. Maybe he didn't like that house.
Yeah, he didn't like the layout.
He was like,
or the feng shui.
Yeah. They're big on feng shui, which you wouldn't think so, but demons are like really into that stuff.
Have you seen hell? It is. It's arranged hell? In a specific way. I've been there.
Waterfall on the west wall. I mean, it's always got open pathways. Like,
yep.
Aren't you not supposed to put like your mirror across from your bed or something because it like reflects death or something like that?
Oh, shit. I got to take my mirror. Hold on.
I swear. Check out death. When I'm like in my bed doing my thing, that's on me.
So yes,
so death shame me.
Don't death shame me. I'm sorry, Ashley, I didn't mean to death shame you. You're right. So we then find out it started happening again when she was 13, and it's just been happening on and off for her whole life, but now it's kind of been ramping up for the past couple weeks, so which they didn't really explain.
So basically, this is establishing that whatever this is, it's following her specifically, and it's not inherent just to a house, which, excuse me.
Yeah.
When I was learning about ghosts when I was young.
Yes.
The hauntings happened in a house or in a space.
Right.
None of the following you around new age bullshit that these demons are doing.
Well, but he says that. He says a demon and a ghost aren't the same. I deal with hauntings in a space. You have a
that
demon.
Is true.
I can't help you with that.
And he is... The psychic is very quick to be like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. I'm getting out of here.
He's like, nope, nope, nope. Not me, girl.
He's like, I got a friend. Call him. I don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah, he tells her, since it's, like Jack said, since it's following her, it's a demonic presence and it's not a haunting, so he can't help her. She starts telling him what's happening. So she says, the lights flicker, the faucets will randomly turn on and off. There's banging on the walls, scratching sounds. But most of the action is happening in the bedroom. Heyo! I wrote that down.
That was a good one today. That was a good one.
Thank you. and there's sorry.
You're so proud of yourself for that one.
I'm very pleased with myself. So
that's where the fire and brimstone happens. I know.
Oh God.
Hmm?
Your bedroom sounds scary.
Punish me.
Hey. Scratching on the walls, banging on the walls. Sounds like me and death, baby.
Okay. I'm so sorry I started this. That's what she said. All right, so...
There you go. You're continuing it.
Stupid. So she also says that there's whispering. Some of it she can't understand, but other times it sounds like it's saying her name. And then Mika's immediately a douchebag, and he's like, oh, it's probably just me saying your name in the middle of the night, babe. It's like, excuse me. I think I know the difference between my boyfriend saying my name and some, like, creepy-ass demon, you jackass.
Typical 2006 boyfriend.
Douchebag. Anyways, yeah, and then Mika, like, brags to the psychic about his camera for a while. He's like, look at this sweet setup I got.
I mean, it is, you know, he's kind of telling him like what he's going to capture, how he's going to capture it. The psychic seems into it. He's like, oh, okay, yeah, you got the camera and the, you know, the ESP. ESP?
Yeah. I
think whatever the little reader thing is. Yeah.
EKG. No, not
EKG. EMP.
It sure is. I'm going to keep trying to say medical things that are wrong.
You know, when you want to, like, just check in, see how that demon's heart's doing, you want that EKG ready.
That's right. Just pop it up to his little demon heart.
I'd like to see a demon under an MRI. I really would.
Excuse me, Beelzebub, I think you have a little aphid going. You might want to get that checked out.
Can
you
come here?
Oh, no. So, oh, my God. Where was I? Sorry. Oh, then Mika's like asking the psychic, like, what can we do to provoke a haunting? And
oh yeah,
the psychic's like, what?
Well, I was gonna say this is like a big issue that keeps coming up throughout the movie.
Yeah, because Katie's like, I don't want to do that, and the psychic's like, no, hauntings feed off of negative energy, and I think that's why when he's like, I can't help you. This is a demon. You need to call my friend.
Yes, but he also says don't antagonize it.
Yeah,
like he says don't, because I think I don't know if Mika mentions it now, but he does say something like, oh, well, let's just get a Ouija board and communicate with it. And the psychic is like, no, if you do that, you're inviting him in and you're going to cause a whole lot more problems.
You're right, he does say that, which of course Mika doesn't listen to because
no,
he's a douche. But yes, so then the psychic gives Katie the number of Dr. Johan Avery's, who is a demonologist, and he can help with the actual demonic presence. Oh, okay, yes, he does say it there here. And then Mika's like, well, why can't we just like give the demon what it wants? And the psychic just looks at him and then he's like, because it wants Katie. It's going to kill your girlfriend. You dumbass.
Yeah, he's pretty, you know, okay, I hate to tell you this, Sid, I am a bit of a skeptical person. I was expecting boos after that, but
sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I muted it while I was turning my page.
Oh, that's why. You were definitely doing booing after. Okay.
I was booing you in my heart.
Oh, I felt it in my brain. No, I mean, like, I get his point of like, oh, okay, this is a little pseudoscience-y, kind of like, okay, yeah, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think he truly understands how much this is affecting Katie and has affected her since she was young.
Right.
And so he's certainly not taking it seriously enough to the degree that she is. And he just comes off as a tool.
Which, again, that's my point. Even if you.
Yeah.
Okay, Jack, let's say you were dating Katie. If you're not. You're
okay.
Okay.
You're okay. Yeah.
Oh, my God, Jack. Jesus.
Do I got the camera, too?
No. Oh, stop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. You're dating Katie. But stop. So your girlfriend is this freaked out and you don't believe in this stuff, but she is this upset. Are you going to like fuck around and try say stuff like, I want to provoke it and why can't we just give it what it wants? Or are you going to be like, my girlfriend's upset, I'm just going to go along with this. Stop it.
Okay. Yeah, I would probably poke fun a little bit, but you know, if I find
actually upset,
but if I keep finding out like this is not something she wants to talk about, I'm going to drop the subject and I won't talk about it. Yes,
exactly. I had a deal with an ex-partner because I am not a skeptic. So if something goes bump in the night, it's probably a ghost and goodbye. We got to go. So
you're leaving.
We got to go.
It's time to flee.
Our deal was always like, okay, if I tell you there's a ghost, you have to believe me and you have to help me. It's like, okay, yeah, I'm on board. So find someone like that.
I mean, yeah, I think it's good to have the balance, the team balance of like someone, because if you're both like believing in this stuff, no one's going to go out when you hear the bump. No one's going to go out and investigate it, right? Like Mika does.
Oh, I'll go investigate.
Oh, damn.
I may be scared, but I'm going to go investigate. But if I tell you it's time to go or I want to call the demonologist, I need you to listen to me and not gaslight me.
All right. Sid's got the brass swingers there. Okay.
I'm ready.
Those that ghost hunt together stay together.
That's right.
There you go.
There you go. Okay. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So, and then, yes, the psychic tells Mika again, hey, don't be a douchebag and use the Ouija board. And then he's very nicely telling Katie, like, hey, you're going to be fine. Just call Dr. Avery's. He'll get it figured out. It's okay.
Well, he, okay. I don't know what his fucking beef is with a demonologist, but he, that's where he draws the line. Cause he's he's like, do not call this person. And it's like, why? You call the psychic and he came in and you're okay with that seemingly. Why is the demonologist the line for him? I don't understand.
That's another thing I didn't like, because it would clearly make her feel better. And he's so like, is my house. I'm going to protect my house. Like, I can protect her and blah, blah, blah. It's like,
stand my ground against a demon.
It's so dumb and macho, and it doesn't work in the end, does it, Mika? So anyway, no, it doesn't. So the psychic leaves. Like Jack said, Mika's immediately like, no, you're not calling the demonologist. Because Katie's like, oh, I'll call tomorrow. And he makes her promise not to call until it gets worse. Which, okay. Which,
good, great idea.
Let's make sure it's worse before you call. All right. And then Mika wants to get down. And Katie's like, you got to turn that camera off.
Yes.
And then he's like, it is off. And she's like, no, I can see the light, which is gross. So what? He was going to film her without her consent if she didn't catch the light? That's disgusting.
Yes. And also, Mika, you can't even see anything. Terrible angle.
Jack.
Not a very good director of photography, is he?
Jack.
I'm sorry.
That is filming without consent during a sexual act. Good.
That is the most important reason not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Secondarily.
No. Nope. That's the only... Shut the fuck up. That's the only reason. He also like tries to film her peeing, which is weird. Like, he's like a little kid. It's so awkward.
He's disturbing. He's like frat boy guy or something.
Yeah. Maybe.
Sorry, frat boy guys.
Maybe that's why I didn't like him. He was giving frat boy vibes. Gross.
If you're not like that and you're a frat boy, email us and let us know at Final Femme.
Yeah. I'm podcast sure there are frat boy exceptions, so I apologize. Kind of. So then we get night 3, September 20th, 2006. 12:31 a.m. they go to bed. At 2:09 a.m. the door starts moving back and forth very slowly and it's creaking. Mm-hmm. And then nothing. And they get up at 6:14 a.m. And then Mika reviews the footage and he shows Katie like, hey, look at this. The door was moving. And she's freaked out and he's like super pumped about it. He's like, oh, fuck yeah.
Well, so far, it's pretty innocuous. Like,
it is.
If the door was just moving back and forth, you obviously don't have proof of ghosts. But yeah, it's like, oh, something is happening while we're sleeping.
Yeah.
There's something going on.
I think, again, because it wasn't his whole life, it's more exciting to him. Yes. Whereas for her, this has been, right. This is scary.
Yes.
So, oh yeah. So then later Mika's just tootling around on his guitar and Katie is like, Mika, come here. So he starts to run for her. He comes back, picks up the camera and then runs back.
Yes.
And she's like, did you get your fucking camera? He's like, what's wrong? And it's like this big ass spider. He's like, you were screaming like something happened. She made me laugh.
You a big spider fan, Sid?
No.
We might have talked about this in previous episodes, but I can't remember.
No, I don't like them. Usually I can take care of them. That was a big spider, though. Like, that was the size of, like, yeah, a half dollar. So that one would probably freak me out.
Yeah. I would try to do what...
Mm-hmm.
Hit chunky ball. I would try to do what Mika did, like, scoop it up with a paper towel and, like, get it outside.
Mm-mm.
Instead of the instant death karma that comes with killing spiders.
My thing is, if you stay outside, I will not harm you. If you come into my house, you have entered the house of horrors, and it's fucking on. I'm going to kill your ass.
Yeah. Spider, did you not see the sign written outside in silk in spiderese? Did you not see it? Do not come in.
Don't come in this house. For something that big, I would probably like spritz it with Raid like across the room because he's too big to try to step on.
There's a difference between Ashley really likes the spider.
Welcome to the jungle, spider.
Welcome to the jungle, bitch. I'll kill you.
There's a difference, I will say. There's a difference between when you smash something and then you smash something and can feel it under the paper towels or whatever. That is like the sign that it's too big.
There was, okay, when I was a kid, like our family TV was in the basement and we had these spiders. They must have been wolf spiders, but I didn't know what they were at the time.
Yeah.
They just looked like big. So I would throw a magazine on top of them and like hop up and down screaming. Like I called them Godzilla spiders. So
That's pretty good. Do you remember what magazine Godzilla. You were throwing?
Godzilla. No, I probably the New Yorker. That's what my parents had around a lot.
I mean, if you throw like Vogue on them, they probably just die from the impact.
That's true. Like, oh God, the fashion crunch. So I have been a chaotic spider killer since I was a kid. There was one time I tried to stab one to death with an umbrella.
Okay, that takes some aim. Wow.
I know. I'm saying I don't like you, but I'll kill you. Like, don't come in my fucking house.
Like a fencing with him.
Kind of. I was just trying to stab him to death.
Does that spider have six fingers on his left hand?
Yeah, that's right.
I think you killed my father.
Prepare to die.
Prepare to die.
Exactly. Princess Bride spider.
Oh my gosh.
You'd make a wonderful Dread Pirate Roberts. Where was I? This chaos.
And you know you can't poison the spider because they've probably taken small bits of it over time and developed the immunity
to iocane powder. That's right. I got you. You fool!
Sad to the spider.
I think we've dispensed with the spider.
Yeah, the spider's dead. Oh, Mika keeps trying to antagonize the ghost again.
Yes, he's like talking to the ghost mm-hmm. now.
And then we just get the next shot. Mika's in bed reading some demonology book. And he's like, oh, I could be a ghost or a demon. And she's like, well, the psychic said it was a demon. And he's like, yeah, I don't know. But like, I'm thinking about it. But it's probably a demon. And she's like, yeah, that's what the fucking psychic said, you dumbass.
Yeah, it's like my house, so like maybe ghost. I don't know.
I know better. Ooh. Shut the fuck up, Mika.
Yeah, he's flipping through like the Necronomicon. Yeah. Like, terrible images of demons. Like,
ugh. Devils, demons, and witchcraft. 244 illustrations for artists and craftspeople.
Ooh, thank you for writing
it. By Ernest Lehner.
It's a craft book.
Thank you, Ashley. Yeah.
Some illustrations you can color in those pictures, you know, good colored pencils and crayons.
Maybe that's all the demons wanted. They're like, just make me pretty.
Guys, what color do we think demons are?
Red.
Oh.
What color do you think they are?
Like, maybe like brown and red. I don't know. Like brown, like hooves on the bottom, like goat men, like satyrs. Oh. And then red on the top. Red on the top.
Extra rosy cheeks.
Well.
Yeah, a lot of rouge.
Rouge. Yeah. Cute.
Man, imagine trying to buy foundation for that skin tone. It's not going to happen.
No, impossible. Those poor things. That's all they want. Oh, God.
Maybe it's demony.
Amazing. So
maybe
yeah.
She's summoned with it. Sorry.
Oh my God.
I'm done.
So Katie basically tells Mika to shut the fuck up and that she's scared. So he just keeps telling her about scary stuff, even though she's already upset because he sucks. And then he's like, oh, it's so cool. We got it on tape. And then she tells him again, she's scared. And he's like, don't worry. We'll take care of it, babe. Like, Mika, you're a day trader. What the fuck are you going to do? You're going to sell it stocks? Is that what day?
You're going to trade your way out of this?
Day trader sell.
Big boy. Right?
I don't know.
It just sounds one of those kind of like those one of those skeezy jobs. No offense to the day traders out there.
No idea. sorry, day traders. I don't know what you do. Trade the day, I guess. Oh, God, that was funny. So Katie tells him that if the cameras keep making it worse, she wants to stop using them. And Mika tells her basically because she didn't warn him about being like haunted before they moved in together that he gets a fucking say. And she's like, when the hell was I supposed to be like, hey, by the way, totally haunted? Like, what?
A little pre-existing condition, you know.
I
insurance won't cover that.
Mika
totes haunted, BT dub.
By the way, I think down here I said Mika is a walking ad to stay single. So there you go, Mika.
You guys are way harsher on Mika than I was, I think, during this movie. But rightfully so, I'm seeing the error of my ways, as Jack usually does during these.
Well, like I said, I didn't clock it the first time I watched it. I think I've seen this like 5 times now. And each time he feels worse to me. I'm like, ugh, this guy sucks. So, night 5. September 22nd, 2006, 2:55 a.m., which is also Tom Felton's birthday. No big deal. Anyways, so we hear weird noises.
He was born at 2:45?
He was born September 22nd. I don't know what time. Not that much of a stalker. Anyways.
Are you his demon?
No, shut up. Leave me alone.
Just drag him away by his ankle out of bed.
I mean,
I could see Sid doing that. No, because you're like, you're strong. You got a lot of strength. You could really do that.
Celebrities out of their bed. That feels not nice. I keep my parasocial relationship from afar. Thank you. Respectful distance.
Don't worry, Tom. I'll turn the camera off.
Oh my God, you have to stop. Jesus Christ.
Ashley, keep going, please.
Oh God, don't. So, this is stupid. I'm so sorry I brought it up. We hear weird noises. My face hurts.
Holy shit.
Yeah, same. Killing me. Where was I? We hear weird noises. Katie just hears a weird noise and then she jerks awake with a nightmare. Mika comforts her and then they hear a loud banging. So they go downstairs to investigate with the camera. They don't find anything. So Mika antagonizes it again. Like, okay. Yeah. And the next day, Katie's freaked out again.
Okay. So this is the pattern I'm kind of picking up on now that we're reading, going back through this. Something happens. Next morning, Katie is more freaked out. Mika is still oblivious.
Yep.
I completely agree with you on that. Like, he should be more alarmed as more of this stuff is happening. But he really is just like, oh yeah, so like I'm gonna really start saying shit to this demon and like
get him to
do something, you know. Yeah, that's what it seems like he's trying to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So she's freaked out, and then her friend Amber is over, and Amber is played by Amber Armstrong. And they're just doing a little craft, like, because Katie clearly needs like a mental break. And instead of like giving her time, Mika's like, come here, I want to show you something. And Katie's like, can you stop? And he's, come here, I got something to fucking show you.
Okay. He's also shoving the camera in their face again, which
yes.
This would be so, especially again, when you see the camera and how big this thing is, like it's pretty obvious when he's recording and like in your face with it. Mm-hmm. So if I was on the receiving end of that, I would not be happy either.
Yeah. Like, he's constant. That's a good point. So he interrupts the girls to show them a digital audio of something he took like 10 minutes before he and Katie woke up. And it's this voice, but it's in a language that they don't know. So Mika is like, I want to get a Ouija board. I want to like start talking to it. This motherfucker. This is also a reason I don't like him, because Amber and Katie are like, no, don't do that. Like, that's inviting it in. Don't do that. And Katie is like, promise me you're not going to do that. And he's like, okay, I promise I won't. Buy one, you dirty motherfucker. You know what she meant. Mika, you fuck. Anyways.
He's just meek. He's meek, Mika.
He's a twat. So he antagonizes the ghost some more. And Katie's like, come on. It's time skip. So Katie's like, come on, it's time for bed. So night 13, September 30th, 2006, at 3:14 in the morning, Katie hears a noise and wakes up. Mika wakes up. They hear a loud scream and a thud. They freak out. Katie's crying, obviously, because it's scary.
It's like, yeah, go it's down like to a roar.
Yeah, that's like, that's right.
Like a beast roar or something.
I was trying to find a good way to describe it. That's a better way than like a scream. So, yeah, beast roar is more accurate. Like an animal. Thank you.
It was terrifying.
It was scary. So they investigate, they see the chandelier on the downstairs floor is like swinging back and forth, and there's a light that's turned on downstairs, but then nothing else really happens at that moment. So they go back to bed at 3:21. At 3:25, the lights turn off, and Katie and Mika hear another noise. And then it's the next day.
At this point, this is where Mika should have been changing his tune.
Yeah.
Because he heard that.
Yeah.
And heard the bang, and his reaction was genuine fear. He was scared too. He's like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, I think that's.
So why does he continue to do this I'm going to antagonize the demons and kind of gaslight Katie. I don't get it.
Yeah, that's the frustrating thing. Because in the moment, like you said, Jack, he's also afraid. So then, but he immediately reverts back to, no, I wasn't scared.
Like, oh, my house. It's my house.
The house. Okay, Mika.
You defend my house.
So the next day, Katie again tries to tell him, hey, like, I don't want to do the camera stuff anymore. It's making it worse. Like, let's just stop. And he's like, no, this is so cool. Like, we're getting the stuff on camera. Like, we could do something with. Okay. So he keeps blowing her off.
Yeah.
And then the next scene, he's just got like this doofy little microphone and he's just trying to like talk to the ghost or the demon. He's just asking it questions. And then by the end, he just starts doing Monty Python quotes, which annoyed me because how dare you use Monty Python, Mika? You're not cool enough.
Torn said.
But. So then he's checking the responses on his computer. But on one of the questions he asked the demon is, would you rather talk to me through a Ouija board? Like, is this microphone not working to you? Can you respond to me like something not English? And that's when he gets like a response, like a weird noise from the demon.
It's like a low growl.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, my gosh. You guys are great.
So... Night 15, October 2nd, 2006. I probably don't have to keep saying 2006, but I'm going to. 1:36 in the morning, Katie sits up. She gets out of bed, but it's like this weird stilted body movement. So she gets out of bed. She's standing there and she stares at Mika sleeping for hours until 3:30 a.m. when she walks downstairs.
This is so creepy.
This is creepy.
The staring at Mika as he's sleeping, and she's just standing there swaying as the time is going by really quickly. That was pretty creepy.
Yeah, I agree. So once she goes downstairs, Mika kind of like wakes up and he's like goes to find her because she's not in the bed. He can't find her anywhere. He finds her outside in the backyard on their porch, like on the swing. And he wakes her up and she's talking to him, but it's like this weird, dreamy, like, I don't want to go inside. Like, I just leave me out here. He's like, it's freezing. What are you doing? She's like, I'll go get you a blanket. She's like, oh, I don't care. But then when he goes inside, he sees there's a light on in their bedroom and there's like a loud bang. Isn't there? Like, there's a loud noise.
Their bedroom door slams shut.
Yeah, that's what it was. And the light and the TV are on in their bedroom because it's this weird static noise.
Or, yeah, I'm sorry. It doesn't slam shut. Something bangs because that comes later. The door slams.
Yeah, it bangs open, I think, maybe. Or hits it against the wall. It doesn't matter.
Yes.
So he's yelling. He's running upstairs. He's looking around with the camera. And then he turns and he finds Katie's like in the doorway. And she's like, what are you doing? Why are you shining that light in my face? And then they just kind of go to bed because she's very confused. And then the next day he shows her the footage and she's like, I don't remember doing any of that. I remember waking up and you have the camera in my face. So she's I think they're both freaked out, but she's like visibly freaked out.
If I sat there and watched that whole footage of her just standing there, like both of them should be really freaked out at that
point. Right.
And he should be asking like, do you sleepwalk? Have you done that before? Because that's what you're doing basically.
And in a scary way.
Yes.
Not just like, I made a sandwich.
Also, I will say, Mika earned some brownie points here.
Did he?
Oh, I just saw your eyebrows go up so
quickly. I'm just waiting. Go ahead.
Because he initially was like, I'll go grab some blankets and we'll sleep out here together. Like, I'll join you.
Okay.
And support, like, be with you. Like, I was like, oh, okay. That's, you know, that's kind of nice.
He did. And then the whole way he's going inside, he's like, God damn fucking Jesus Christ, you're so fucking stupid. Like, under his breath. So.
Where was all that, Sid?
He's recording it. When he goes inside, he's, like, bitching to himself about it.
I think he's like, yeah, this is crazy. Like, he's freaked out.
He was being a good dude in that moment. I will give you that. Yes.
I am not trying to put Mika in a good
light.
Is
Mika your Gavin?
Just since his name is Mika. It's Mika. It's fucking Mika.
Is Mika your Gavin, Jack?
No, I think I got three characters to pick from in this movie. Mm-hmm. I think it's the psychic, Dr. Frederick.
Dr. Frederick. He's like, hey, what's up, Danny? No, so sorry.
And then he's like, I'm getting bad vibes from you.
He's like, oh, God, no. So... Katie, doesn't remember anything. And then she just says that she had nightmares all night. And Mika's like, about what? And she's like, I don't want to talk about it. They're really violent. So, like, was she killing him in her nightmares or something when she's staring at him?
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Just a guess.
I kind of thought this was maybe the reoccurring nightmare she gets since the age of 8. Maybe it's just continually she's reliving this stuff.
It could be.
I also think she should have said what was going on.
In her nightmare?
I don't know. I now that you said that, I actually believe that. She was like doing something terrible to Mika.
Well, because she didn't want to.
And that's why she didn't want to tell him.
Yeah. Because you don't really want to be like, hey, so I dreamed of like cutting your throat last night. No big deal. Like, ooh.
Babe, at least you're thinking of me, babe.
You were thinking of me. Thank you. So romantic.
I only have knives for you.
So sweet. So, yes. Then Katie's freaked out. She wants to call the demonologist. And Mika tells her again, no, because it's going to make it worse. Why? Like,
what? How does he know that?
He doesn't. It's just his ego being challenged. That's why he's like, no, it'll make it worse. Like, she stood up and stared at you for 2 hours, walked downstairs, killed you in her dreams. Like, and then a demon's fucking with your TV inside. Like, what are you doing?
And that's what pisses me off. Like, no one gets static on this
TV. My TV!
For me. Yeah, he only wants Katie to depend on him.
Exactly. Yes.
That's a good point.
He wants her to be beholden to him for everything.
It's
she's the man.
It's kind of like borderline abusive, to be honest. Like I don't like it.
It's the toxic man thing of like, I can handle everything, even though whatever you're saying you can handle is way outside of your control. Right. And it's not even you. It's someone else that you supposedly love, too.
Right.
So just let them do what they think is like, best and just stand by and support
them.
This
isn't love. This is control and ego.
Yeah. Bullshit. Yes.
Don't worry, babe. I've killed a bunch of demons before.
I got this one. I got this, babe. So.
Fucking Constantine over here.
So now. It is 7:34 p.m. and Mika shows the camera that this
favorite part,
this fucking Ouija board he got because he's a little shit. And they're getting ready for date night. So Katie's upstairs. She's like, oh, I'm so happy to go out, because he can't let her have one fucking nice moment. And she's like, she comes downstairs and he's like, look, babe, look what I got. And she is rightfully pissed off. And this is the first time I've seen her like really put her foot down, because before she kind of like let him do what he wanted. And she's like, no, absolutely not. We're leaving. But like she yells at him and I think it's deserved.
Well, because this whole time she's been saying enough with the recording. We're not recording anymore. And yet he continues to do
it. He's doing it.
This is a blatant line where she draws in the sand of like, do not antagonize the demons anymore. Do not buy a Ouija board. And he does.
No, he does not buy it. He borrowed it from somebody else. And he says, you said I couldn't buy it. I borrowed it. I followed your rules, which is so fucking bullshit. And so when she's like furious at him, I'm like, yes, get him. Because I hate that shit.
Oh, yeah. I was definitely on board. Yes. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter if it's bought or borrowed. Who gives a shit? You got the Ouija board, and that's exactly what they told you not to do.
It's
all three people in this movie. Oh,
but it's like that little kid thing of like, well, I didn't. It's like malicious compliance. I'm like, you knew what she meant, you tool.
Yeah.
So they get in a fight. They leave. And when they leave, they shut the door behind them. And like, the wind starts blowing, and then the little planchette on the Ouija board starts wiggling, and it starts saying something on the Ouija board. Like, it's moving on its own, and then it just scoots across the board, and, like, fire comes along with it.
This was so dumb. The fire part.
Like, woo!
Because nothing really came of that, other than, like, they had to figure out a way so that the demon was able to like have like a trail of what they did, because they obviously weren't there to experience it. But I thought the house was going to burn down. I'm like, oh,
I know.
Childhood house did. I'm like, here we go. And then they just cut away and it's good. The
fire's like, okay, I'm done.
weak ass demon.
Demon's like, boop. So they come back at.
It's like 11. 11:30.
Did you write it down? Oh, and yes, I did. It's like 11. Yes, I did. 11:18 p.m. Phew. Okay, I'm scared of myself. So they come back, and Katie's like in a good mood, and then she sees the board and she gets pissed off all over again.
All of that, like, goodwill of that mm-hmm. night of like, hey, you're getting, Mika's getting her back in a good mood. And like, they come home and she sees that and it's like, all that goes out
the window. Well, also because he's immediately like, babe, come take a look. Like, something happened. Like, he doesn't let it go. He keeps trying to get her to help him with this thing that's obviously a problem for her.
He's like, it's trying to communicate. She's like, that I know. That's why I'm saying stop fucking doing that. I told you not. Like yes,
exactly. Does not care about her as a person. It's so frustrating to watch. Or her opinions. Like, he doesn't respect her. Maybe that's what it is. He doesn't respect her and it bothers me.
Right.
So this was kind of funny because he's like, babe, can you come help me? And she's like, fuck off. I don't care. And then he comes up the stairs and she's like, get out. And he thinks she's joking. And she's like, get the fuck out. And she kicks him out of the bedroom.
She's pissed.
He's like, oh, but he's still laughing.
She's so pissed. Yes. It's still not serious to him.
God. Like, the way I would just be like, demon, excuse me. Can you come get him, please? Because
can you transfer to
this
him?
This is a fucking problem. Can you just get him, please?
Demon's like, nah, I want
him. She's like, no, girl, that was all you. Pass. So the next morning, Katie is still mad, understandably. And Mika's like, oh, what? Would I miss something?
One second. One thing happens before.
Oh,
this.
I missed.
He stands in front of the camera before they go to bed and he's like, I swear to abide by Katie's rules and laws.
That's the next day. The next day. That night when she kicks him out of the bed, he is stuck because he apologizes her the next day. She says, turn the fucking camera on. And the next time the camera comes on, it's at 1:25 in the morning when he's apologizing.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't matter, but it matters to me because I'm a spaz. So yes, then he does the, I promise to abide by Katie's rules and be respectful to the entity and not betray her trust. And he's like, the tone of voice is,
oh, he does not think
sulky it's little boy, and it's so obnoxious that it's good enough for Katie. So 1:28 in the morning. Why did I write that down? Oh, that must have been when he finished apologizing. 1:41 in the morning, Katie tells Mika, forget about the Ouija board. I don't want to deal with this anymore. I don't want to talk about it. So the next day he's like still looking at it and he's trying to get her to like, look, there's a message. What do you think it means?
He's gone full conspiracy mode. He's like, he has like a transparency sheet. He's like outlining where the burn marks are, trying mm-hmm. to figure out what the demon could be saying. And he's like, he's gone through the entire alphabet and he's like, okay, it could be Nadine. And he has like a couple other names. Yeah. And he's like, have you heard any of these names? And she's like, no.
Get it out of my house.
Yeah, exactly. I'm done with this. I don't care.
I just wanted the demon to spell out like, fuck you, Mika. And then he's like, what do you think that could mean? Demon's just,
Katie's like, I know what that means.
The demon's just,
I've been saying,
a petty bitch.
It's crazy. Who's Mika?
That's so weird. Isn't your name Mika? So weird. It's definitely not about me, babe.
It's even spelled the same.
So weird. So the next scene, Mika is interrupting Katie again hanging out with Amber because Mika like doesn't know how to not be in Katie's face all the time.
He has no friends, dude.
He has no friends. He never leaves her
hashtag
alone.
Hashtag day trader.
I just like, go get some damn friends.
He traded them for a profit.
Hey. So yeah, he interrupts Katie telling Amber like that she's at her wit's end, and Amber's a good friend because she's like, you can just come stay with me, like let's get out of this house. Mm-hmm. And Katie's like, no, it's attached to me, like I don't want to bring it into your house, like I care about you too much.
Which, another good friend
absolutely
move. Like I don't want to cause problem for you, just this guy I'm
well this
living
guy
with.
Sucks, you don't suck.
Maybe is that the demon's thing? He's like, hey, you know, you pick this guy, so Not far off.
I mean,
come up, take advantage.
I'm just trying to help you. Demon's just looking out.
You know,
for her.
I wonder.
Show the demon some love.
Because I feel like there was times in her life where it didn't affect her. So is it just like when she gets like a really bad boyfriend, the demon's like, demon's like, step in again.
Uh-uh, girl, this guy sucks.
I gotta get rid of this guy for
I
you.
I gotta again. Help. Maybe.
Oh, you got a Gavin in your life? It's time to fucking ramp it up.
Not
again.
Gavin!
Demon, oh, shit. We got a Billy in this situation. It's time for me to put my get my own guns back.
Shut up. The demon would never.
Demon would not be fans
yes,
of your.
Yes, he would.
Of your movie crushes. No, he wouldn't. Said,
well, like,
come on.
Some of my movie crushes are wholesome, just not those.
Yeah, most of them.
Shut up. Anyways. Where were we? Oh, Mika tells Amber basically like, hey, don't worry about it. I got a plan. And Amber's like, what's your plan? He's like, don't worry about it. I got a plan. Which is like, shut up. No, you don't. You tool.
Big Mika energy.
So Mika's big plan, we find out later, is that he's going to sprinkle flour, like powder and flour, all over the floor so that he can see the demon mm-hmm. footprints. Okay. Great plan.
What does it matter at this point? You're already hearing all this shit. You've already been freaked out yourself, Mika. Why do you need, like, I guess, yes, interesting. It's another way to ramp this up. Like, okay, something's happening. But do we really need this in the movie?
No, he's just trying to put her off from calling the demonologist again.
Babe, I just need to see how big his shoe size is. Then I know if I can
I just need to know what his feet look like, babe.
Oh, my God. They're he size 5. I can take this guy down. Yeah, he has a foot fetish too. He does. He does earlier in the movie.
Yep. He's got like, a foot thing. He's got a foot fetish.
Oh, yeah.
Early in the movie, he's like, oh, look at these nice feet.
He does have a foot
That's
fetish.
All this is.
Wow. He wants to see some demon feet, baby.
Let me see them them feeties. Gross.
I want to see some demon toes. Well, little demon little piggy.
Ew, demon only fans, feet pics only.
That's right. Which one of these went to market? Oh, yeah. Which one of these went to day trading?
Ooh, so hot. Gross. So, Katie
God.
Tells him, like, all right, you can try your stupid fucking powder, but I am calling the demonologist tomorrow. I'm done waiting for you. This is what's happening. Which, whatever. So, then he tells her to chill and take a pill because Mika sucks. And he's like, I know what I'm doing. I can take care of it. And she like laughs in his face, which is deserved. And then they go to bed.
Can I point something out that's a little weird?
Of course.
Logistically, when in the camera shot, the static shot pointing towards their bed in the hallway, it's always her sleeping next to the hallway,
mm-hmm.
and then Mika sleeping away. Can't they just flip flop? Because I feel like she would feel a little bit more protected if Mika was the meat shield.
Do you feel like Mika is the kind of person who's going to do that for her? I bet you dollars to donuts when they walk down the street, Mika lets her walk on the outside so that if a car comes, it'll hit her first. I have no doubt about that. You're supposed to have the girl walk on the inside if you're going to do that stuff.
Oh, is that a thing?
Yeah. Shit.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. He's like, big. Trade me places. Ooh, good trade. Yeah, good trade. Yeah,
yeah, it's a good trade because he got what he wanted.
Good trade, baby. Now I feel protected. I'm like,
okay, good point taken, Sid.
But yes, a normal person would do that. Right. You're right.
Well, and there's so many times after these encounters in quotes, because we haven't really encountered anything yet, where they're both like, they're freaked out. They're mm-hmm. sitting up in bed. And she's the one, like, facing the door. Like, just trade places with her, man. Like, be the person that you want to be, protecting your mm-hmm. your girlfriend.
He
and be closer to the danger, but he doesn't mind it.
He never puts her behind him. He always lets her go in front. Mika sucks. So, yes, agreed. So, night 17, October 4th, 2006. 12:15 a.m. Katie tells Mika this is it, and he pretty much tells her to shut up. He's like, shh, you're too cute to be talking. And I'm like, I would punch you in the fucking throat, Mika. What is your problem?
Sid, this is one movie I would like to have watched this movie
Oh, yeah.
Like, been in the same room, or at least a fly on the wall in the room that you were watching this in, because the amount of times you probably paused and were like, fuck me.
Man, like, yeah, my cats did get to hear that today a lot. Yelling about Mika. That's fair. So 3:15 a.m., there are footsteps on the stairs, and they both wake up. And then they see that there are footsteps in the powder, so that, like, the demon, very clearly, now they have physical proof the demon came in the room.
He loves a cocaine.
Yes, he loves the cocaine. So
he's up all night.
He is up all night. That's how he does it. It makes sense now. And then they see that the footsteps stop near the hallway closet on the second floor, and their attic is open. So Katie's freaking out, obviously. And Mika is like, I'm going to go up there. So he gets a ladder. He ignores her. She is begging him to stop.
She wants to leave. Yeah. She said, let's leave.
He doesn't care.
And I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
He does not care what she wants. So he gets a ladder. He goes up to the attic and he finds a photograph. And the photograph it's burned. So it's a burned picture of Katie as a little girl standing in front of their old house that burned down. And there's no way that this photo could be in this house that they bought like a couple weeks ago or a month ago or whatever.
Yeah. And we understand from her, I believe that everything in that house was lost. Yeah. So
exactly.
She didn't even have this photo otherwise. So
exactly. So scary.
It's pretty creepy.
Yeah. And she's sitting in bed crying, looking at the photo, which again is understandable. And Mika's like, oh, I don't know, it's fine, because Mika sucks. Next day, Mika is showing her the footage of the footsteps. Like, he lightened the exposure so they can see the feet better, because, like,
little demon tootsies making the...
Yeah, like Jack and Ashley.
The powder.
Ashley mentioned that the demon had... Mika has a foot fetish, so makes sense.
Yes. He's just like, enhance. He's like zooming in on that shit.
Let me see those feet. Anyway, Katie tells him that she is calling Dr. Avery's, and Mika tells her no again.
Why?
It's so fucking stupid.
You are the expert. Yeah. Do ghosts have feet?
This is a demon.
I'm at Sid. Please follow my line of reasoning here. Do ghosts have feet?
It depends on what show you watch. I've seen it where they leave footprints.
Oh. Damn it.
Well, okay.
Well, I was going to say, like, do any ghosts have feet like that?
No, not like that.
That should tell you it's a demon.
Right.
That should tell you should be calling a demonologist, Mika, whatever the fuck your name is.
Mika sucks. But yes, I agree. It's because the foot is very much not human. It almost looks like a smaller version of like the foot from Jurassic Park when the T-Rex is walking around.
Yeah, like a little dinosaur foot.
It looks like a dino foot. So Katie...
Sorry. Look at this. It's magnificent.
Yes.
Welcome to Haunted Park. Sorry, I'm done.
Oh, I would go there. No, I wouldn't. I have too much of a baby.
Yes, you
would. I'd watch someone else go there.
Oh.
Dinosaur ghosts wandering the fields.
That's...
How come we haven't encountered any dinosaur ghosts? They got wiped out a long time ago, right?
True.
Like, yeah, they should be still haunting the lands around here.
Maybe they just wanted a nap. I don't know.
Fair enough.
I don't know. But yeah, we could have dino ghosts. That's true.
Ghosts of turd. They're sleepy.
Tired.
Yeah.
So Katie tells Mika that he is making it worse and that he's powerless and he needs to stop acting like he knows what the hell he's doing because he doesn't.
Yes. Which, keep going.
Like, good for you, finally. So she essentially tells him to fuck off. She calls the demonologist, who is apparently out of the country. So if they had called earlier, maybe this could have gotten taken care of, but Mika sucks, so...
I think the demon is interfering with this call.
Do you?
I'm not going to let that go through. Yeah, I think I'm going to fuck up the call.
I just think it's Mika's fault.
Sid, what in this whole episode leads you to believe that?
It's so weird. I don't know.
I think if we count up the times you said Mika sucks in this.
In my defense, he does.
He does. He does. And I'm squarely on your side now.
So Katie calls the psychic since she couldn't get the demonologist. And she tells Mika, like, the psychic's going to be back tomorrow. I know you don't like him, but you don't really give a shit. So. Oh,
favorite scene coming up.
Oh, yeah. This is a good one.
Your favorite scene?
When the psychic comes back. Oh,
So. That is a good one. So November, I'm sorry, night 18, October 5th, 2006, 3:54 a.m. The lights turn on downstairs. There's a thumping noise. And then on the stairs, the light goes off and then a door slams, which wakes them both up, obviously.
Yeah, their bedroom door.
Yes, I'm sorry, their bedroom which door slams.
It's very loud, and I wasn't expecting this. This actually like jump scared me.
It's scary when you don't know it's coming. Then there's like banging on the door and Mika's getting all pissed off, which the only thing I will give Mika, I understand this. When I am scared, I get angry and then I'm going to like go after the thing that scared me. I get that.
I feel like when you're happy, you're angry.
What do you mean?
Or maybe you're just never happy around me.
What do you mean?
This podcast is full of your hate towards me.
It's not. Stop it. So, Mika...
You're talking about how happy you were?
I am. Mika
opens... Or angry you get when you're scared?
Yes. Mika opens the door. The demon turns on the downstairs light, and then the light in the closet hallway is open. The fuck was that?
Someone's stomach growling? That's a demon.
That's the demon. That's the demon. Yeah, that was...
It sounds like the demon.
Okay.
I was going to say this, too, because in most horror movies...
Not you.
In most horror movies, the lights are always fucking off.
Yeah.
Always. And this was one of the moments where I was like, turn a fucking light on. And then they immediately do. It's like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty common sense of like,
turn the light on. Exactly. Obviously. Yes. Yeah. So then Mika yells at the demon again. And then like, the demon slams the bedroom door and bangs on it. So like, Mika and the demon are fighting essentially.
They're duking it out.
Kinda. Katie freaks out. She won't sleep in the bedroom, which is fair. So she starts. It takes her a while, though, because Mika's like, it's fine. It's fine. And Katie is like on the verge of tears with how much she's like, please, please, I don't want to sleep in there. And he finally listens to her and they start to go downstairs. And then there's like creaking downstairs. Doors are slamming. And so he gets her to go back into the bedroom because it's kind of like there's scary noises everywhere. Like, let's just sleep in our bed.
I don't think I would want to sleep out because, again, open floor plan. Everything's out in the open in this house. I don't think I would want to sleep downstairs because you're more susceptible. Like,
true.
You're not in an enclosed room. Like, everything is open. Like, I don't think I would do that. So, I guess, luckily, shit's happening downstairs and that scares Katie to be like, okay, bedroom sounds like a better idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where I would sleep. Outside, maybe? I don't know. So it's four. Well,
even outside.
Yeah, I mean,
you'd freeze apparently.
Apparently in San Diego. Well, it's October, but so it's 4 in the morning. They finally go to bed, and then the next day, Katie's just sitting there, like looking like zombie, like tired.
They both look like shit. They haven't slept in a long time.
That's true. You're right. They're eating, and it's daytime, and then a loud noise bangs upstairs. And something has punched a picture of both of them that's on the wall, like broken the glass, but there's like scratches on Mika's face only.
And I'm a little suspicious of you, Sid, at this point.
Oh, okay.
Well, you didn't do that, did you?
No, not this time. Katie, okay. Katie can handle her own shit.
Okay. Just making sure, because it was directed at Mika. So.
It wasn't me. It was not me, I promise. But this is the first time an event's happened in the daytime. Before, it's always been at night, which means the demon is getting stronger, more pissed off. The barriers are breaking down.
Right.
And then Katie says, because they're upstairs looking at this picture, and Katie just stands still and it's like, I can feel it breathing on my face. And then she runs downstairs because she's freaked out, which is fair.
And her hair moves, too.
Yeah, her hair moves.
When she's upstairs. So, and then that freaks her out. She like immediately bolts downstairs.
Yeah, fair.
Mm-hmm.
So the psychic comes and he says that Dr. Avery is out of the country. And then the psychic immediately is like, oh, fuck, I don't want to be here. This is really bad energy in your house. He's like, listen, the demon is pissed off. I'm here. I got to go. I'll call Dr. Avery. Will be back in town in a few days. Anyways, good luck. Bye. And he just bounces.
Mika's even like, should we leave? And he's like, it won't matter. And by the way, I'm leaving.
Goodbye. So like,
let me leave first so I can get out of here.
He's like, I don't know. Hope you don't die. See you later. Bye. It was funny. He stayed like 5 minutes tops.
He wants none of that.
No.
Oh, yeah. Walks in. He's like, no, I'm out. handle your shit. I gotta go. Bye.
Goodbye.
Don't blame him. Mm-mm. Don't blame him at all.
Yeah, not at all. So then Katie is in bed crying. And Mika holds her. So yes. Again, I will give you that. When she is in actual distress, Mika knows how to like be a person and hold her when she's crying. So that's something.
That's pretty much all he can do is just comfort her in the moment, as long as he's not talking. Because when he talks, he gets himself into trouble because he's like making fun of her and stuff.
Or he starts fights because he's a dick.
That too.
So night 19, October 6, 2006, 1:34 a.m., a shape goes under the covers, like a little puff of air comes and a shape goes under the covers towards Katie. Okie doke. 3:05 a.m. A light turns on in the hallway closet and then off. Katie wakes up afraid because something is breathing on her. Mika wakes up. He comforts her the next day. So like the whole point of this is that it's getting closer. It's letting her know, hey, I'm going to kill you soon. No big deal. So the next day, Katie is sitting there looking terrified, and she just says, I can feel it watching me. Like, she is drifting farther and farther away from reality because she's so scared, which makes sense. They watch the footage and are freaked out because they see the shape under the bed coming towards her before it goes away.
It also, like, looks like it picks up her foot, too, just briefly.
Yeah, it's kind of like testing its boundaries, seeing.
Yeah.
So... yes, that's a good point. It's escalating. So Mika finds a website about Diane, who is played by Ashley Palmer. And all the things that are happening to Katie happened to Diane in the 60s. Then it turns out like Diane called an exorcist for this. But before the exorcist was there, what was happening to Diane was less than what's happening to Katie. So they called someone to help before it got to this level, which is what normal people do, Mika. So, but I'm pretty sure she died from the exorcism.
Well, I was a little confused at this part because I took it as Mika was saying, when we called the exorcist and tried to get an exorcism, then shit got worse. And so that's like his explanation of why they shouldn't do that right now.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a mixture of both. I might have been.
I was kind of confused too, to be honest. So. You could be right. I'm not sure.
How about we're both right? Okay. Can that ever happen?
I love that. Right. I love that for us.
Fuck.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, you guys. It's so cute.
Oh my god, you guys. So cute. Thank you. So I think Diane got fully possessed, and that's why the exorcism either killed her or didn't work or something.
Something. Anyway, she doesn't survive. Mm-mm. So Katie's like hearing this news that this lady did not survive.
Yeah.
The same things that she's experiencing. It's a little alarming.
Yeah, because it's like exactly the same. Like there was a fire when Diane was 8. She lost everything. She's been haunted the same way her whole life. So exactly what's been happening to Katie. So Katie's freaked out, obviously. And then our next scene is just like Katie studying for class. I think she just wants to feel normal for like a second because she tells Mika to fuck off. And he's like, I'm trying to help. And she's like, I just want to study for 5 minutes. Just leave me alone.
Which, okay, first of all, no better way to feel normal than telling Mika to fuck off.
True.
And how much studying are you going to get done in 5 minutes? I'm sorry.
I mean, she's not. She just wants him to like, he doesn't give her personal space ever. He is constantly in her business.
He's always in her face with the camera.
He's exhausting. It's exhausted by him, and I'm not dating him.
I know. You tired?
Like, Mika, go away. So Mika's pretty much like, I'm just trying to help. And Katie's like, your camera made it worse. And then Mika's like, it's your fault we're haunted, which is a shitty fucking thing to say, because it's not like when she was 8, she'd like, you know what? I'd love to be haunted for the rest of my life. Thank you. But then she starts crying and she's like, oh, I'm sorry. And he's like, it's not your fault, which, okay. So they make up, which is nice.
They make up so many times in this movie.
Yeah, maybe they shouldn't be together.
That's what that feels like, right?
It's weird. Anyways, night 20, October 7th, 2006, 4:32 a.m. Oh, I gotta sit up for this one. So something pulls Katie from her bed. It like grabs her foot and then it yanks her out of the bed and down the hallway, slams the door, and then Mika runs out after her and she is screaming. And this actress has one of the best screams I have ever heard. Like, it is bone chilling.
Yes. Yes.
Like, she sounds like someone is murdering her. It's amazing. That's weird to say, but it's so good. Like, I can't scream like that. It's amazing. So
I can.
You can. Jack has an amazing scream.
I have an amazing scream.
I'll have to hear that sometime.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully I never have to use it.
Well, that's true. I hope you never have to use your I'm being murdered scream.
Yes.
So she's screaming. So Mika manages to pull her back into the room and they just collapse on the floor. She is sobbing and he's holding her, which, again, she's fucking amazing at this. Like, she's a good actress. I liked Katie a lot.
Well, especially when, like what you said at the beginning, where they don't have a script they're going off of. The director is just like, I don't know, be scared. And that's what she's doing with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's pretty amazing.
Like, scream like this is the end of your life. And she did. So
yeah.
The next day, Katie is pleading, begging for Mika to let them leave. And Mika's like, okay, I'm going to book us a hotel.
Finally.
Yes, finally. Like, even if it follows you, just try to sleep somewhere else just for one night. You need to sleep.
I feel like at this point, you book like a hostel and you sleep in a room with a bunch of other people and hope that it just transferred to someone else.
Be like, please, anybody.
Sorry. Like, sorry. You dealt with this since you're 8. You can give this to someone else's now.
Turn. That's right.
Another 8-year-old out there is looking for a demon.
Oh, God. So Mika, oh, yeah, she's lying on the couch and he's like, okay, I'll book us a hotel. Can I get this on film? And she's like, okay. And so he pulls her t-shirt up. And on her back, it's like over a pretty good expanse of her ribs. There is a huge bite mark with these big teeth. So like something tried to eat her last night, kill her.
Yeah.
Creepy. Then the next scene, Katie is changed. Like, she's changed her outfit and she's sitting on the floor. And she seems like catatonic and he's like, come on, we got to go. And she's like, I don't want to go. It's OK. And he opens her hand and I don't know what she was holding, if it was like scissors or a knife or something.
I think it was a cross.
A cross.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting, because her hand is like bloody as hell.
Yeah, she's like bleeding all over her leg. Mm-hmm. And Mika sees this and is like, God, oh, shit. And he like grabs paper towels and trying to clean it up.
Okay, yeah, Mika tends to her wounds. That explains why he burns it later, because I was like, why is he burning a cross?
Okay, and I also, so I was going to say this. So he starts a fire and then burns the cross and the picture?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But maybe don't burn the cross, dude. I don't know. It seems like a weird, like, that's the first time he has seen her holding that thing. So why is he immediately like, fuck this thing? Like, yes, the picture, I understand.
But. Well, why did the cross make her bleed? Because she's already possessed.
He was like saying like, oh, you got to let go of this. So I think it was that she was holding it so tightly, it was cutting her hand. But I don't know. Maybe like you're saying, she is possessed and it's affecting her now. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. But it's still weird to burn it. Like that, you're right. That feels like a weird thing to burn when you're dealing with demon possession. But okay.
Yeah.
Mika's dumb. We already know this.
He's never seen The Exorcist or The Omen.
Stupid. So, yeah, Mika burns the cross. And maybe he's just trying to burn something that hurt her. Maybe it's like a knee-jerk reaction of like, oh, this made her bleed. Fuck it. We're going to burn it. Maybe. I don't know.
If that's his response to what, like, oh, there's danger, I'm going to start on fire. It's like, first of all, man, this is a demon. I think they live in fire. So not really going to do much with that.
True.
Sorry. Also, if you keep burning stuff, you're going to replay her childhood.
Yeah.
She's burning the house down.
Burning down the house. A good song. So the next scene, Katie is in bed. And Mika's like, hey, we got to go. We got to go. And she's got this weird little girl voice. And she's like, I don't want
to. Actually, hold on. I think Ashley has it covered.
I don't want to leave. Will you stay with me?
Exactly.
That's pretty damn close.
That's pretty close. I don't want to go. Will you stay with me? I think it's going to be okay now. And Mika's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, you were just, we're going to go. And she just keeps repeating it until he's like, okay, fine. And when he leaves, she just kind of like puts her head down. She's staring vacantly. And then she just starts smiling. And it's so creepy. I love it.
Also, Sid, I know you'll appreciate this. Yes. Do you like how quickly Mika was convinced to stay? And he changed his mind right away?
Mm-hmm. If only he'd listened to the whole fucking movie.
Oh.
Weird.
So he didn't like that.
Weird. No, it's fine. Just came too late. And look at the consequences, Mika. If only you'd made better choices. Dumbass.
Only if you, did a different job other than
dating. I don't think what happened to Mika happened. Sorry. If only you weren't a day trader. Don't think that's why. So, night 21, October 8th, 2006, 1:28 in the morning. Katie sits up. She gets out of bed, same way as before, like that kind of stilted, possessed way. Mm-hmm. She gets out of bed. She watches Mika, and then the blanket moves off of Mika on its own.
Yup.
Okay. She stands there for a while. She walks over to his side of the bed.
Walks to his side of the bed, yes. And stares at him, which is so fucking creepy.
It was amazing. She stands there looking at him until 3:15 a.m.
It's like Bo staring at fucking Mel Gibson when she's like, I want some water.
Yes. Yes. So she stands there looking at him from 1:30 in the morning to 3:15 a.m. She walks back out of the room. She, I think, goes into the hallway or she goes down the stairs and she starts screaming the same scream that she did from last night. And Mika gets up. He runs after her. They're screaming. They're both screaming. And then suddenly you're hearing noises, like you hear someone getting hit and he's yelling in pain. And then it's quiet. It's so quiet. Nothing happens. And then there's just these slow footsteps that come up the stairs. And then Mika's body is hurled at the camera. And we see the camera gets knocked down and we see Katie just staring at him with her head tilted and like blood all over her shirt. She walks slowly to Mika's dead body. She gets down on all fours. She sniffs it. She like crawls towards the camera, smiles. And that's the move. Well, she charges the camera with a dumb.
Yeah. She makes ghoulish noises like.
Yeah. And then it just kind of ends with. On October 11th, 2006, police found Mika's body and Katie's whereabouts are still unknown. And that's the movie. Very creepy.
Yay. It was creepy.
Yeah. I like this one.
Yeah. It's. I also think this movie was the, because what I remember from this movie, not having seen it, but like kind of seeing like talk about it. It's the, not exactly night vision. It's more like blue light. When it's dark and the cameras are rolling, and that's what I remember, and that's a lot of this movie. It's just it's very dark. It's shot with just like a static camera, and all this stuff kind of happens, and it's pretty freaky. I agree.
I think this, because we were saying for Signs that the slow build didn't work. I think the slow build works for this one.
Yeah,
because they amp up enough dread. There's just enough little time. That it, like, when it finally happens and you don't expect it that to happen. Like, I love that she tricked him to run after her because she's screaming and then killed him.
And there's no robotic children and their dumb dialogue.
And well, so and you, there's that. You never see it on screen. Like, it's always off screen, which makes it scarier.
True. True. Like, yeah, like, what happened to her? Because her stomach, like you said, she's bloody, like, around her stomach. So is that
his because blood?
She was attacked again by the, or is that his blood? Yeah, exactly.
I think she was fully possessed by that point. So she just screamed to lure him out of bed and then murdered him.
When do you think she was possessed?
When she got bit.
Okay. Okay. Because it was interesting that she kind of, like, the last scene before he dies mm-hmm. is she does the, like, get out of bed and stare at him thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, was she possessed way back when she was doing that earlier? Or was that just, like, at the demon taking a test drive with her body
it
or something?
Kind of felt like a test drive. Like, and then when it, like, tried to pull her foot and then, like, didn't. And then when it yanked her and bit her, I feel like it was ramping up. So when it finally bit her, yeah. I think that's when the change happened. That's my guess.
Well, especially when she's like, I want to stay now.
Well, yeah. He's like, oh, okay, what? Babe.
Perfect. I'm going to leave the camera on and do some sexy time.
Yeah. All right. So Katie is our final girl, kind of. So what are we giving her to drink?
Oh, jeez. Well, this is really going to help her mood or help her her sleepless nights. Because she was like pounding coffee at certain points in this movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, I understand completely. So she is going to get a Pabst Blue Ribbon hard coffee. And you know what? Before you moan some more,
okay.
It's actually really good. I've had this
really?
Before. It actually is. It's really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of like a coffee, like a stout, like a coffee stout.
It's much lighter than that. Oh. I would say it's like a very, very light iced coffee with a tiny bit of booze in it. Like,
interesting.
But it's actually pretty damn good. I'll give it that.
Okay.
So I'm giving her a drink I like.
I didn't know that they did that. So, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. Well, I went to shakennotscaredpodcast.com and they have a paranormal activity themed cocktail. It's called Flames Before Bed, which is pretty good. And so this one has 2 ounces of white rum, 1.5 ounce of blue curacao, 3/4 ounce of lemon juice, and Everclear.
Ooh, that's where the fire comes. Okay. Ooh.
So in a shaker, you add the rum, the blue curacao, and the lemon juice with ice. You shake, you pour it into a glass. Make sure there is a significant gap between a 1/4 and 1/2 inch between the top of the glass and the liquid.
Oh.
And then you add the thin layer of Everclear. You safely light the drink on fire. Don't try to drink it while it's on fire. Blow the flames out and stir. Jesus.
Steer. Steer it.
It says before you stir and then it says cheers. So I kept saying steer.
So what you're saying is make this drink and then go drive.
Don't.
Because you got to steer. You got to steer.
Don't do that. Do not drink and drive. Please drink responsibly.
Yeah, I think it's have that drink and then go push some cows over. You know, some steer. Some
steer.
Go cow tipping.
I like how they think people are going to like safely do this at home. Like, get this shit away from me. I don't need bomb in my kitchen that I'm making. No.
Although it has been suggested to me that we could do like a YouTube of us trying some of the drinks we recommend. So that could be fun for like a Patreon.
I'm not doing this one.
Well, it doesn't have to be this one. We can pick.
I value my face and eyebrows and hair and everything.
We don't have to do the ones you light on fire. So friends, if you would like to reach us, please find us Final Femme Podcast on Instagram or finalfempodcast@gmail.com. You can give us ratings on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
Do it. 5 stars.
And then on next episode, we are recording Halloween!
Halloween!
With Michael Myers and Jamie Lee Curtis.
I love that Michael.
And that Michael.
Talk about a face. Oh,
my God. Yes, it'll be William a good time. Shatner? I know, right? It's the William Shatner face. It's so great. But yes, until next time. Bye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Oh, no. All right, friends, we ready?
Mm-hmm.
Ready, Freddy? I'm ready, Daddy.
Oh, God! No!
Okay, we got about a 2-minute recovery period here for Lauren.
No.